Welcome to the City Place Church Podcast. My name is Josiah Williams, and here is my challenge for you. As you're listening to the message, I challenge you to remove as many distractions as possible, to write out a few notes and things that stand out to you, and afterwards, share what you've learned on one of your social media outlets. We level up by giving a level 10. Thanks again, and enjoy the message.
Come on, City Place family, are you ready for the Word of God today? Are you buckled up? Are you ready to lean in level 10? Leaning in level 10 here at City Place means that we remove the distractions, we engage in the conversation, and we take notes. And you can find those notes at cityplacechurch.com/notes. I'm so excited that we get a chance to hang out today. Now, I've got a chair because I'm going to sit down today and really try to make sure that we unpack what God wants to say. But if you've hung out at any point in time at City Place, you know that I don't stay in the chair very long just because I've got a passionate personality. I'm always passionate and so excited about what God wants to say and what God wants to do. We are in the middle of a series called Sunday School Remix. We're talking about stories that your Sunday school teachers may have never told you. And last week we talked about Atai. The week before that we talked about Ehud. And you can find those on our YouTube channel. You can find those on our City Place Church audio podcast. But I'm excited to be able to continue today. A couple of other things that I want to bring to your attention is if you're joining us for the very first time, do me a favor, even if you've been with us for a while. Also, if you have a prayer request, or if you just want to tell us a little bit more about yourself so that we can connect with you, we have a virtual connect card, cityplacechurch.com/card. My wife and I would love to come around you. Our team would love to pray for any requests that you have or give you more information on how to become a part of the City Place family. The other thing is that I want to let you know is that we're going to worship the Lord in our giving at some point in this service towards the end. And so just know that God has called our church to be a life-giving church that builds dreams, ignites faith. We establish leaders that win the lost for the kingdom of God. That's our vision. And we just believe that part of that vision is us being generous because we live to give. So if you're ready, I want you to pull out your Bibles. Remember, you can download those sermon notes at cityplacechurch.com/notes. I just believe that we're going to have a good time today. So are you sitting down? Are you standing up? Is it okay if I sit down? Now listen, this does not mean that I'm not going to be passionate, but I'm just going to have a seat here because I want to read a little bit. I want to create a little context because our Sunday school series is all about bringing those Bible lessons to life that we may have never heard of. And this morning I'm sitting down because I've got some information that I want to tell you to create the scene. We're going to be going to Judges chapter 4 today. We spent time in Judges a little bit earlier when we were talking about Ehud. He was the left-hander that just gutted somebody. And I'm going to need your help again in helping me come up with a sermon series title for this week's Sunday school lesson. You know, there's stories that we know in the Bible, David and Goliath. We know if you've been in church for a while, I don't want to assume that every story is known, but there's stories like Esther, who was a teenage girl, that God used her to bring deliverance for her people, or Daniel in the lion's den, or just other stories, Jesus walking on water, that would have been heard in a Sunday school environment. But I'm pulling some stories that we may have never heard. So if you can help me out, I'm going to give you three sermon titles, and you can pick them, okay? You can pick one. I need you to type it in. You can put number one, number two, or number three. That way, we'll know what today's title of the message is. So shout out to everybody watching on YouTube and Facebook. Here we go. Here are three titles this morning. Here we go. You ready? Number one, I've got something on my mind. I've got something on my mind. Number two, I got a headache. Number three, you hit the nail on the head. You hit the nail on the head. All right, so you got those? I got something on my mind. I have a headache. Well, you hit the nail on the head. Y'all ready? Judges chapter 4, let me give you the context of where we are. Judges chapter 4, Ehud has brought deliverance to God's people. There is a period by which the people have decided, I can already tell y'all that I'm not going to stay seated very long, so let me just get on up here so I can be passionate. The people of God have decided that they are going to serve God, Because the book of Judges is not about the rule of law. It's about God raising up men and women to bring God's people back into relationship with them. Because if you read the book of Judges, they go from God's relationship to being distant from God. They cry out to God. God raises up a leader. They go back into relationship with God. And so Ehud has caused there to be great peace in the presence of God. But when Ehud dies, the Bible says that the people turn away from God again. And so when we pick up in Judges chapter 4, there is a king by the name of Jabin who was the leader of Canaan, and he had a commander named Sisera. And the Bible says that Sisera was bringing about depression and oppression to the people of Israel for 20 years. And it says that the people started crying out to God, and God raises up a woman by the name of Deborah. And God speaks to Deborah, and he says, now is the time to silence the enemy. Now is the time to silence King Jabin, and now is the time to silence Sisera. And so when we dive into Judges chapter 4, there is this conversation that's happening between Deborah and a leader named Barak in the army and in the community of Israel. And it goes something like this. And then we'll hop into Judges chapter 4, verse 14. Deborah goes to Barak and she says, God says, now is the time to strike. He's going to hand over King Jabin to you. You're going to show up, you're going to fight, and you will bring back victory to God's people. Barak says, I hear what you're saying, but I'm not going to go unless you go. So Deborah responds to him, and she says this. She says, here's what's going to happen. She says this in verse 9. She says, surely God will give you victory. I will go with you, but the glory of the victory will not come to you, for God will give the glory of the victory through a woman. Y'all with me so far? God will give the glory of the victory through a woman. And so when we pick up in verse 14, there's been this preparation of Barak and the army now going out to face Sisera, who the Bible says has 900 chariots. And he's riding one. And so we're going to hop into God's word, and then we'll make the story come alive. But just remember in Judges chapter 4, verse 9, Deborah looked at Barak and said, you'll show up, you'll fight, but the glory and the victory will flow through a woman's hands. Here's what it says in Judges chapter 4, verse 14 through 24. It says, then Deborah said to Barak, go. This is the day that the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you? So Barak went down to Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. At Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera and all of his chariots and army by the sword. And Sisera got down from his chariot and fled on foot. Barak pursued the chariots and army as far as Harosheth, and all of Sisera's troops fell by the sword. Not a man was left. Sisera, meanwhile, fled on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, because there was an alliance between Jabin, the king, and the family of Heber, the Kenite. Jael went to meet Sisera and said to him, come, my lord, come right in. Don't be afraid. So he entered her tent. She covered him with a blanket. I'm thirsty, he said. Please give me some water. So she opened a skim of milk and gave him a drink and covered him up. Stand in the doorway of the tent, he told her. If someone comes by and asks you, is anyone there? Say no. But Jael, I love that. But Jael, Heber's wife, picked up a tent peg, a hammer, and went quietly to him while he lay asleep, exhausted. Then she drove the peg through his temple into the ground, and he died. Just then Barak came by in pursuit of him, and Jael went out to meet him. She said, come, I will show you the man you're looking for. And the Bible says in verse 23, and on that day God subdued King Jabin, king of Canaan. So let's talk about this. I gave you three titles. I've got something on my mind. I've got a headache. Well, that's hitting the nail on the head. The Bible says, and this is one of those stories that you may not have heard in Sunday school class. The Bible says, to bring us in the context now, remember I prepared you at the beginning. The Bible says that Deborah says to Barak, it's time to go. But she had originally told him that because I'm going with you, God's going to bring victory through the hand of a woman. Here's what I find that's really, really amazing. Before I jump in, this morning, the person that we're going to learn about in our Sunday school class is Jael. Jael. But here's something that stood out to me that I didn't read, but it was found in verse 9 that I referenced. It said that there would be victory that would flow through a woman's hands. And I felt like the Lord wanted me to tell you this morning, today I feel like my assignment is to build your faith up. I feel like my assignment is to speak life into those places that no one may see. I feel like God is using me today to speak life to you in 2020, where in some issues of our life, we may not feel like there is promise. And I feel like when she spoke to Barak in verse 9, and it played out in verse 18, 19, 20, and to the end, I felt like God wanted me to declare to you, take note of this, Sunday school lesson week through 3, is that there is a prophetic promise attached to your life for kingdom impact. That there is something that God has already declared to you before it's ever played out. There is a prophetic promise. Here's what I mean by the word prophetic if you're just hopping on and this is your first time hanging out in a church experience. When you hear the word prophecy, when you hear God is saying something, what it means is that what God sees and what God says about you, he declares to you. You with me? What God sees about you and what God says about you, he declares to you. And so when Deborah declares to Barak that victory is going to come through a woman's hand, what she was doing was she was releasing that there is going to be a prophetic utterance that's going to flow through Jael's hands. But it was declared before it ever happened. So can I tell you this morning? See, this is the reason why I can't even sit down. I want to tell you this morning, or whether you're listening to this, driving in your car, you're watching this later, that there is a prophetic promise that God has already declared to you before you ever walk it out. And the prophetic promise is for you to be able to walk it out so that it has a lasting kingdom impact. Are you with me so far? So in verse 9, she says that there's going to be victory in a woman's hands. It's going to flow through her hands. So there was a prophetic utterance before the moment ever occurred. So let me tell you, in 2020, even though we might be pushing past some things, or there's some, I've seen the comments on social media. I've had people respond to me and say, this is not what I expected. Let me tell you, it may not be what you expected, but just because it's the unexpected doesn't mean that it pauses what God has already declared that he wants to do in your life. Take note of the fact that there is a prophetic promise attached to your life for kingdom impact. Are you with, you treading with me? I'm laying the foundation. So since you have a prophetic promise, watch now. Don't try to script the outcome. Don't try to script the outcome. Let God hand over the victory to you. This is what she said. She said, victory is going to come to you, but it's going to flow in a way where you're not scripting it, Barak. It's going to flow through the woman's hands. You'll get the victory, but you don't have to script the victory. It's going to flow the way God sees. So can I tell you that since you have a prophetic promise, 2020 is not over. Are you with me? 2020 is not over. There are things that God has designed for you and your family and your friends that you have to receive in this year. So don't look to 2021 and try to script out the outcome of this year when God's promise and declaration for your life for 2020 is still in motion to be fulfilled. You have a prophetic promise for this moment of your life. So the Bible goes on to say that the soldiers go out. There's 900 chariots from Sisera who's been oppressing Israel for 20 years. And it says that Barak shows up on the scene and he is fighting the battle. And it says that he eliminates all of the chariots of Sisera and Sisera flees. Pause that to the side. It says that he flees to a place where a family by the name of Heber is residing, a place of the Kenites in the Kadesh Valley. Now, if I could pause there and pull you in to this Bible story, there's something here that jumps out to me that we may not have learned in Sunday school class. It says that Heber had a great relationship and was at peace and had an alliance with Canaan, the king Jabin. But he was a Kenite. And the Kenites were, watch now, the Kenites were related to Moses. Moses married Zipporah years ago, and his father-in-law Jethro was a Kenite, a leader of the Kenites. So Jethro's family and Jethro's lineage was aware of the promise of God and the purpose that rested on the people of Israel. Because of Moses' attachment, Jethro's family was now in relationship with the flow of the presence and power of God. So although there was calm and peace in Heber's home and in the alliance with King Jabin, there was still this flow that God's hand rests on the people of Israel because of our connection to Moses. So they were fully aware of the miracles and the signs and the wonders that God had done. And so when we read that Heber is in alliance, we read that Sisera flees to a place where he thought he was safe. And the Bible says, when we pick it up in verse 14, it says that when he runs through the community and he runs to the tent of Heber, thinking that he was running to a safe place. The enemy of their life felt like in running to their house, he was going to be safe. Sometimes the enemy will feel like if he runs to your house that you'll coddle the places where he brings problems. But can I just declare to you that that day is gone because you have a prophetic promise that God's already declared, and we can't allow the enemy to invade our space. Are you with me? You hanging with me? We can't allow the enemy to come into our place and feel as though he can reside there. You're tracking with me? So watch. It says that he runs into this woman by the name of Jael. Now remember, there's already been a prophetic promise that the presence of victory will flow through a woman's hands. And so Jael meets him at the door and he says, can I come in? She says, come on in. If I can pause, I want to talk to you about Jael. Now, this might seem a little funny, but Jael's name means mountain goat. Yeah, I know. It's not anything. Huh? You really want to pull that out, Pastor Damon? Yes, look. It means mountain goat. And when you study it, watch now, theologians and those that have studied her come to believe that when we see mountain goat being part of her name and part of her characteristic, they're actually referencing a Nubian ibex. A Nubian ibex is a type of mountain goat that's found in the highest places. They refuse to dwell in lowland. They choose to rise above so that their view is never on the same level as the other goats. When you study it out, it says that the Nubian ibex is one that does not roll with the crowd, but they prefer to take a stand on their own. So when we think about Jael, I see Jael feeling like we will still be connected to the presence of God, and we won't allow the enemy to invade our space. Everybody else might allow Sisera to roam around here, but if he comes here, he ain't making it out. Are you with me? So here it is. She is this woman who, by definition, if you look at her name, you can say, oh my goodness, what does that mean? I'll give it my own understanding. But theologians have studied out to realize that what her name really meant was that I don't run with the crowd. I go higher than what it looks like so that my view is different so that I can stand out. So she welcomes in Sisera, who has oppressed Israel for 20 years. There is a prophetic promise that has echoed before this moment in time for her life. And when the moment comes, She says, come on in. Come on in and have a seat. He says, cover me up. She covers him up. Can I have some water? She gives him some milk. She says, go ahead and go to sleep. Here's what I realized. Can I just give you a couple of takeaways for today? Let me give you a couple of takeaways. Watch this. Watch this. If I have a prophetic declaration over my life, if you have a prophetic declaration on your life, which you do, I don't need to script it out. I just need to let God's victory take place in my life. You got that? We said that earlier. Here's the other thing I want you to write down. Watch. I want you to realize, I want you to sit in the place where there is this declaration in your heart and in your mind. Watch now. I got the prophetic declaration and the prophetic promise of God in my life to make a kingdom impact. I'm not going to try to script it out. I just want God to do it. I want you to have in your mind that God will fulfill his prophetic promise to me. I want you to have in your mind that God will fulfill his prophetic promise to me. 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 Can you say that? God will fulfill his prophetic promise to me. Come on, say that again. Say that again. God will fulfill his prophetic promise to me. Here's what I realize. In biblical days, early days, the culture was not that we would see a woman rise. In that culture, there was a place where the woman was kind of behind the scenes. She may not have been respected. If you look at the dialogue between Sisera, that wasn't his house, but he was given a lot of orders. The Bible says that she was the wife of Heber, but when Sisera got to the house, he was given orders. I love the way that God will take what he sees and what he has declared a prophetic promise over and say, no. I will use you to bring victory. See, you and I have to declare, no matter what phase of life we might be in or whatever box we could be put in 2020, we have to say, God has declared for me a prophetic promise, and God will fulfill that prophetic promise in me. So when he rolls up in Jael's house, the actions that she took by some would have been out of order. And so she's sitting and she's serving him. And she's in this moment of time. And I want you to write down these things that I feel like God wanted me to just give you in regards to Sunday school lessons. Here we go. You ready? Write this down. Write this down. God is always in control. I just have to step aside. God is always in control. I just have to step aside. God is always in control. I just have to step aside. See, Barak was told, victory's going to come, but it won't come through your hands. Barak could have said, say what? I'm not going out and fighting. He kind of started that by saying, I'm not going out and fighting if you don't come. But he realized, oh, Deborah's going to come. I need to do what God is asking of me because I'm not in control. See, God is in control. We just have to step aside. We have to step aside from anything that would block the prophetic promise of God flowing through our life. Come on, I don't know if y'all, have you ever gotten in your own way? How about this? Have you ever tripped over your own foot? Come on. Y'all know when you walk in, and you're hoping no one sees you. Sometimes we just have to step aside. We have to get out of our own way. We have to get out of our own thinking. We have to get out of our own space. We have to get out of our own feeling and go, God gave me a prophetic promise. God, I don't need to script out the outcome. I'm just going to let you flow through me. Why? Because God is going to fulfill. Remember, we declared that just a few seconds ago. God is going to fulfill his prophetic promise to me. So since we are declaring those things and we know that there's prophetic promise, God is in control. I just need to step aside. Number two, since I have a prophetic promise, it's time for victory to flow from your hands. Since I have a prophetic promise, it's time for victory to flow from my hands. Sisera comes in and he's like, I've got a safe place. Sometimes the enemy will try to creep in your space thinking that he has a safe place. Those days are over. The tension happening in your house, the arguing and strife in your marriage, the kids acting out of line, the things that we would say, oh, that's just a season of life. No. Those seasons are over. The seasons where this old pastors used to say, well, your money's acting funny and you're doing everything right before the Lord, that's over with. The season of 2020 dictating our emotion, that's over with, because I have a prophetic promise for my life that God wants to do through me. See, since I have a prophetic promise, since you have a prophetic promise, since City Place Church has a prophetic promise, it's time for victory to flow from me. So here it is. She's like, I know we have this agreement, but this enemy is not going to impact my family or the promise that resides on the people of Israel. And I can see her saying victory is going to flow from me. I have the enemy in my face, and I won't tolerate him dictating to me. No. He doesn't understand that he's about to get hit in the head. Since I have a prophetic promise, it's time for the victory to flow through me. I don't know about you, but in 2020, there have been some moments where I'm like, man, God, I'm getting hit. But 2020 is not over yet. It's time for victory to flow through me. Can I declare to you that you are strong, you're mighty in God, and it's time for victory to flow through you. Number three, don't toy with the enemy, eliminate him. Don't toy with the enemy, eliminate him. She was like, oh, yeah, come on, lay down. And while he's just spewing out, do this, do that, she went and grabbed a tent peg and a hammer and was like, this enemy ain't staying the night. This enemy's not creeping up in my space, and this enemy's going to end oppressing the people of Israel. Let me just tell you that don't toy with the enemy. It's time to eliminate the enemy. How many of you would say that there's some things in your life that you may have allowed? Come on, let me see. Give me a hand. You may have allowed, and maybe it's time to let victory flow through you. Come on, anybody else? How many of y'all would be honest and say, Pastor Damon, honestly, sometimes I feel overpowered by the thing that I'm facing. Let me see. Come on. Let me just declare to you that you have a prophetic promise from God to make a kingdom impact. The victory that happens in your life happens for a reason. It happens so that you can declare the goodness of Jesus out in public and out in the open. Since you have a prophetic promise, don't try to script it out. God, how long will this be? How I did 2020, this could go into 20. No. God, you're going to give me victory because you have a prophetic promise. And since I have a prophetic promise, God, fulfill your promise in me. I'm going to step aside, God. I'm going to let you be in control. God, do whatever you want to do. God, let victory flow through my hands. I'm not going to toy with you, enemy. You will be eliminated. Number four, last one. I realized something, and I want to just declare this to you. God equipped you for his purpose. So use the tools you got. Let me say it again. God equipped you for his purpose. So use the tools you got. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 4 through 5 says, we are confident of all this because of our great trust in God through Christ. It is not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own, but our qualification comes from God. Our qualification comes from God. Here we have Jael, who by definition, her name means mountain goat, but when you dive deeper, it means Nubian ibex. The makeup of one that doesn't roll with a crowd or allows the enemy to reside. She rises above to make sure that everything that could be in her way, she's looking over. And she's built to not run with the crowd. She's got a prophetic promise that I talked about in Judges chapter 4, verse 9. And the Bible says that by the time we get to the end of that story, God says, I've equipped you for purpose. I want you to use what you got. Last year, I did a series called Use What You Got. God has put something on the inside of each one of us to fulfill his prophetic promise. Deborah said, victory will come for the people of Israel, and it'll come through a woman. There was a prophetic promise that flowed. Do you know what she had in her hand to bring victory? A tent peg and a hammer. Everything that you need to fulfill the prophetic promise of God, you've already got. The Father has equipped you to fulfill his purpose. Use what you got. If you dream about cooking and somebody taught you how to cook years ago and you got a desire and a dream to impact the lives of people through cooking, you cook like crazy. If you have a desire to teach and you want to teach in a school, you go learn and you teach somebody in a Sunday school class, you teach after school kids, you teach on the job, you teach wherever, but you use whatever that prophetic promise is and the gifts that God's given you to make a kingdom impact. Use what you got. She took a hammer and she took a peg and she, watch now, hit the nail on the head. This morning, my assignment has been to speak life into you. You have a prophetic promise from God. You're built to last. You're built to make a kingdom impact. Use what you got. Use what you got. The Bible goes on to say that Jael helps bring about victory that day. And I read it to you. It says, and the Lord gave victory to the people of Israel, and King Jabin and Sisera were eliminated. I want to just declare to you today as we wrap up that 2020 is not over yet. There is victory for your family, prophetic promise for your home in this year. Don't let the moment go. Don't let the moment go. Say, God, bring victory through my hands in this season. I just need to step aside because, God, you promised it to me. Right where you are, I just want to pray for you. You've been hanging out with me. You've been listening, and you might say, Pastor Damon, I need victory in my own life. Can I tell you that victory starts with a relationship with Jesus? It's the beginning place. It's the place where we all begin. We have to have a relationship with Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. The Bible says that he gave his life for you and he rose from the grave so that you could have life abundantly and you could really find out what you were created to do. Today, before we go, I want to invite you into a relationship with God. I want you to have the gift of salvation that's available to you. And the Bible says this. It says that if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died and rose again, that he comes and lives on the inside of you. And I'm about to pray a simple prayer, and I just want you to pray that prayer after me. And then afterwards, I'll give you a couple of next steps. We'll worship the Lord with our giving. But this moment right here is the moment by which we step aside. And you can say, Jesus, I'm ready. I'm ready to hear your voice and all the promises that you've declared for me. Are you ready? Come on, people are praying literally all across the world. Come on, pray this prayer after me. Say, Dear Jesus, today I welcome you into my life. I acknowledge that you died for me and you rose again. And I accept you freely as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, right where you are, can you make some noise for the decisions that people have made today? I want to say well done. You've made the greatest decision of your life, and I want to just declare to you that Jesus is the best decision, the best thing that you'll ever make, and that you'll ever do. Congratulations. Let me give you just a quick next step. I'm going to give you two. The first one is that connection card that I mentioned earlier. If you can fill that out, let us know the decision you made today. cityplacechurch.com/card. I also want to invite you to be a part of a community of people who are doing life together, growing in our relationship with God through city groups. Our city groups, we have city groups for all ages and walks of life. Students, young adults, families, men, women. You can join a city group right now. We don't want you to do life alone. We want to walk with you through every step of this journey. Can you do that for me? Come on, did you get anything out of today? Come on, can you declare this with me? God's going to fulfill his prophetic promise in me. The final thing we're going to do today is we're going to worship God with our giving. We're going to worship God with our giving. I just want to celebrate you and just your faithfulness. We are a church where we are committed to give. I told a group of people last Sunday, I was talking to some people last Sunday, and I wanted to just share it to you. We were able to sow into a young man in North Carolina who, as a church, this is what we've done, who is stepping out on faith, and God has called him to do campus ministry for Fellowship of Christian Athletes in a place in North Carolina where there is outreach needed. And he reached out to City Place Church and he said, "This is on my heart." And we just felt like God said, invest in him in this time. Why? Because it's a prophetic promise. And so as a church, I want to say thank you because you are impacting young men and young women through the gospel of Jesus Christ in a missional way. This is who we are as a church. We live to give, and I want to say thank you. And so the information is on the screen on the ways to give. Do as the Lord leads you, and just trust that every seed that we sow, God is going to be glorified through the impact we make. Amen. So I'm going to pray. Let's all worship the Lord in our giving. And as always, if we can be the church in any way, come around you and lift up your arms, we'd love to do that. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. I thank you for the opportunity to give today. Continue to allow City Place to represent you well on the earth. Thank you for those that made a decision today. We're so honored and we're grateful that we get to be in relationship with you. Bless our week. And God, I just thank you for continually being glorified in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, y'all have a great week. I can't wait to see you right back here, part of the City Place family.
Thanks so much for tuning in. We hope that you've been encouraged by today's episode. And we have one final challenge for you. Take something that you've learned today or something that stuck out to you and share it with a friend or a loved one. Spread a little of what I like to call that wisdom wealth with someone else. Wherever you are, I hope that you have an incredible rest of your day.